This particular passage, I think, though, has a great deal to offer us. And I hope that it's not going to be just kind of theological. I hope it's going to be practical as well. That's my desire for us today. Last week, Sammy talked a lot about the second coming of the Lord, which was great, and I loved his enthusiasm that he put into that. And this kind of this beginning of 1 Thessalonians 5 kind of takes on from the end of 1 Thessalonians 4. You'll work out. And it actually kind of, the two passages go together a little bit. Now, as Sammy said, there was loads of speculation in the church about what was going to happen when Jesus comes back or before Jesus comes back. The technical theological term is, of course, eschatology. And we're not going to go into all of that in great detail today. Oh, you're so pleased, aren't you? Okay. But the when and how of Jesus' return, I think, depends on what your view is on Revelation 15, 19 and 20. And also, I guess, whether the 1,000 years that it talks about in the Bible is actual literally true or whether it's figurative. And there are so many different understandings of this. Theologians have been going over this since time began. Well, not since time began, because since Jesus said that he was going to come back again. There's all the stuff about the rapture and tribulation and whether we are amillennialist, premillennialist, postmillennialist. You can take your pick, to be honest. To be honest with you, I don't care. I'm being really honest about that. I don't mind. We can all have different views on it in just the same way as possibly some of us have got different views on creation. And whether it's literally 7 days, or whether you can actually have a day without the sun and the moon. You can have your own opinions on all of those things. As a home group, we'll probably be looking at this a little bit more on Wednesday morning. So don't shoot me yet. Wait until Wednesday lunchtime, then you can shoot me. But the point is, it's not the when and the how that matters. It's the why and the who that matters. And I think we can have those discussions. And as Sammy generously offered last week, you can have a discussion with him over a meal and he will pay. So, again, don't shoot me. Go and talk to Sammy about it. So there was a whole load of kind of theological stuff that was going on. And there was a whole load of confusion that was going on. There was the thing that, has Jesus already returned? Some false teaching that was going around about that. And people were concerned about whether they'd missed it. I mean, have you ever waited for... Ros was waiting for a bus yesterday in Topsham with her sister, and they thought they'd missed it. And they rang Ros's sister's husband to find out whether the bus changed, bus timetable had changed or whatever. Thankfully, the bus came along. But they were waiting for something, and they didn't know whether it had come or gone. Well, the Thessalonians were in the same kind of thing. Had we missed it? No, they hadn't missed it. There was some false teaching. They were concerned about what happens to those people who had already died who were Christians. And they were worried about, what about the rest of us who are still alive? Have we missed it? Is it still happening? What's going on? So we're not going to kind of go into the pros and cons of that. Listen to what Sammy had to say about it last week. Let's not allow speculation or confusion hamper our unity. That's a key message that we need to take out of this. It's not about necessarily having all the answers, because we aren't going to have all the answers. And I'm comfortable with that, to be honest, because I'm comfortable that God knows what's going on, and I'm not God. As we've sung that song that we had a long time ago, yeah, I'm not God, and I'm not going to worry about some stuff that the Bible isn't totally clear about. But I'm not going to let it hamper my unity with you guys. And you can have different opinions and we can discuss those, and that's great. But let's do so in love. So lots of speculation and confusion about what's going on here. We're coming to a period known as Lent, as the run-up to Easter. And I think it's really important to recognize that this is an opportunity for us to prepare ourselves for Easter. But what I want to tell you is that the cross and resurrection and the ascension were staging points for Jesus' return. Sammy prayed about Jesus coming back and making everything right. And I wonder whether, you know, we really believe that. And I wonder whether we're ready for it, to be honest. And that's what this passage really is all about. Jesus said, when Jesus was ascending into heaven, there were some angels there, and they said to the disciples, "This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And I don't know exactly, as I say, how that's going to happen. Because the Bible talks about us meeting him in the air, those who are still alive. And yet it also talks about there being a new heaven and a new earth and Jesus reigning on the earth and coming down. And lots of it speculation, lots of it interpretation, lots of it kind of can confuse us. But let's not worry about that, apart from the fact that Jesus is coming back again, because he promised that that was going to be the case. He made several promises about that. For instance, John 14, verses 1 to 3, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I've done that, I'm coming back for you, that you may be with me forever." Fantastic promise that we've got from Jesus himself. At his trial, before the high priest, Jesus was asked if he was the Messiah. And he replies in Mark 14, verse 62, "I am," Jesus said, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus himself has said that he's coming back. Paul wrote about the second coming, and Revelation has lots to say about it. But the critical issue is whether we believe it. And do we have the faith to believe in this? And if we do, then it's got to affect our lives in some way. Because if Jesus is coming back, we need to be ready. And we need to be prepared. So I think there are three main themes in this particular passage of 1 Thessalonians 5. Firstly, to live in eager anticipation. Secondly, to get on with the job. And thirdly, don't panic. Be bold and confident. So I'm just going to look at each of those very briefly this morning and try and help us to not be panicking and that we're getting on with the job. And we're living in eager anticipation. So let's start with that one. Firstly, Jesus didn't know when he was going to come back. Matthew 24, verse 36, he says himself, "No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." When Jesus was here on earth, he didn't know when he was going to come back again. I haven't got this on biblical authority. I can't find a verse that says anything about this, but my guess is he knows now. Because if he and his Father are one in heaven, I think the Father might have given him a bit of a clue. But if he didn't know when it was here on earth, why am I going to waste time worrying about it myself? So I'm going to just trust that that's going to happen. That's my faith, to believe that Jesus is coming back again. Notice in verse 3, it says, "suddenly." If you've got your Bibles with you or you've got it on your app, It says that it's going to come suddenly. I don't know about you, but that word kind of makes me think. Makes me think, hang on, I can't plan for this. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen suddenly. Am I going to be prepared for it? One of the commentators that I was reading about this particular passage says, we need to be on tiptoes waiting for Jesus to come back. Matthew 24, verse 42, which is a little bit further on from the previous verse that we looked at, says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. It's a kind of reminder of the story that Jesus told about the 10 virgins, isn't it? And five of them were prepared and ready and had oil in their lamps and everything else. And the other five were a bit dozy and they didn't have themselves prepared. Suddenly means it's unexpected. Suddenly means it will happen quickly. Suddenly means let's get ourselves organized. In verses 1 and 2 of this particular chapter, Paul uses the words times and seasons. Now, if you go back to the original, it's the same phrase, actually, that Jesus uses in Acts. Sorry, it's used of, no, Jesus actually used the words in Acts 1:7. And times relate to chronological time, the revelation of history. And seasons comes from the word kairos, which means the opportune moment. So there will be a season, a chronological period, but there will be a kairos, an opportunity. When that's going to happen, the opportune moment. And 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says that we need to be awaiting the day of the Lord, and that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. I'm going to talk about a little bit more about that in a minute. But whatever the timescale is, we need to be vigilant. We need to be ready and prepared. Jesus is expected, but we don't know when. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 and 6 say, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Let us be awake and sober, not asleep and drunk. The point is, are we vigilant? Are we ready? Are we expectant? Are we anticipating that? Are we excited by it? Are we impatient for it? I wonder how we feel about Jesus is coming back. Yep, you can come back, but can I just get my new car and enjoy it? Or can I move to my new house? Can I see my children and grandchildren grow up? Yeah, I'd really like you to come back, but it's not quite on my timescale at the moment. Doesn't matter whether it's on our timescale or not. It's whether it's on his timescale, the seasons and the times for him. Let's be awake and sober. We could talk a lot about the fact that the first part of 1 Thessalonians 5 is probably written to people who aren't Christians, and the second part of the passage that we've read is more towards Christians. And there's lots of distant stuff that we could talk about in terms of whether we are asleep or whether we are sleeping in the Lord. If you go away and read that, there's some interesting stuff that you can pick up from that. So let's live in eager anticipation. Let's be ready as much as we possibly can. But also, let's be getting on with the job in the meantime. So what is the job in the meantime? Well, I think there are at least three key priorities for us. We need to witness to sharing our faith. We are supposed to be witnesses. We're to go into all the world and to share the gospel. We need to demonstrate our love and care for people. And we need to pray for the kingdom to increase. I wonder whether we do that. Whether we actually pray for God to reveal himself in and through us to other people. How can we see the kingdom of God increase? Now, many of you will know that I'm a trustee of an organization called Neighborhood Prayer Network, which is actually one of our church mission partners. We don't talk about it very often, but I have to tell you, they are mission partners of ours. We support them financially each month. It's not a great deal, but we do support them. And their three priorities are the same as these three priorities, but in a slightly different order. They are to pray each day for the folks around us that we get in contact with. They're to care each week for those folks, doing some practical application of our faith. And they're to share our faith each month. Now, that sounds like it's a really difficult thing to do. It isn't really. I mean, how difficult is it to pray for our neighbours? It's not, is it? I mean, we're thankful we know everybody in our close by name. We've got a little bit of a relationship with everybody. A couple that's a little bit more on the fringe. But yeah, we know who they are. We know a little bit about their lives. And we haven't been praying for them every day, even though I'm a trustee of this organization. But we have been praying for them every week. Usually it's on Wednesday. But we're going to change that this week. We're going to pray. There's 11 houses, so don't need to pray for ourselves that much. Well, we do, but not in this context. So there's 10. So we're going to take two each day for 5 days in the week. And we're going to pray for them specifically and appropriately. And I've got a deal for you today. Because one of the things that we're trying to do is to get people to sign up for this. There's only one person that I know in this church who's actually signed up to NPN. Even though it's a mission partner. Come on, boys and girls. Not even anybody on the leadership team. So here's the deal, okay? If you fill in one of these cards that says you're going to get involved with this, I'm going to give you a new book today. It's called Mountain Moving Prayer. It's a great book. It's written by somebody that we know, Deborah Green, who runs an organization called Redeeming Our Communities. It's a great read. There's some fantastic stories in here. So if you'd like to get a copy of this book free of charge, then sign up to NPN today. The cards will be on the foyer table, but you've got to bring it back to me. You can do it online if you want to. A person I know who signed up in church did it online, but I'll give them a book if they really want one. But you just register your street as if you're going to try and pray and care and share with folks. And as I say, we'll send you information about how you can do those three things. But it's not a big deal, is it, to pray for our neighbours? We talked about the fact that there's so many things going on in the world at the moment. How does the world get changed if we don't stand up for what we believe and we don't actually, if we don't get on with a job and actually pray and care and share with folks, people's lives are just going to remain the same, aren't they? And it all starts with prayer. So if I can encourage you to pray for the folks around you, even if it's just a prayer of blessing, Lord, bless XYZ at number 53. Whatever they're going through today, watch over them, be with them, guide them, help them, and let them know that you are who you say you are. That's not a difficult prayer, is it? Well, one person thinks it isn't, at least. So let me encourage you to do that. And if you want a free copy of Mountain Moving Prayer, it's called The Unlimited Potential. It's a kind of strap line for it. As I say, fill in one of those cards, come and see me. End of commercial. Last thing, be bold and confident. Don't panic. We have all we need. This particular passage talks about putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Now, that might remind you of Ephesians 6 and the whole armor of God and all those kind of things. We have received salvation according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. And in verse 10, it says, he died for us so that we may live together with him. So it's not only just living here on earth, but it's we can live with him here on earth and in eternity. Go away and have a look at the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6 and see what that actually talks about. But Paul has, in virtually all of his letters, he links faith and love and hope together. They're the three eternal qualities, aren't they, that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. And the greatest of these is love. Do we love God enough in order to share that love with other people? Do we love other people enough so that we do actually share that love with them? That's the challenge for us all, isn't it? So I said I didn't want this to be theological. I wanted it to be practical. So here's the practical outworking of all of those things. But let's remember that our confidence needs to be in the Lord, not in our own abilities. Because it's him who works in us and through us. And as it says in Philippians 1, it says, I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's the hope, isn't it? When Jesus returns, he'll have finished, the work will have been finished in us. Now, we can then talk about what happens in eternity and how that kind of our lives continue in that sense. But our work on earth will be finished when Jesus returns. And I wonder whether we are anticipating that return, whether we are ready for it. So here's the takeaway. A few things for us just to take away this morning. Don't let Satan confuse you about dates and times. Don't let other people confuse you about dates and times. Don't panic about them. Be assured Jesus is coming back. Be ready and vigilant. He promised that he's going to come back. There are more promises about Jesus coming back than there were about Jesus coming for the first time in the Bible. So be assured he's coming back. The Message gives a great translation of 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2. He won't call ahead and make an appointment any more than a burglar would. Suddenly, be vigilant, be ready. Encourage one another. Stand together and support one another. The last verse of Sammy's talk last week in chapter 4, verse 18 says, encourage one another. And the last verse in this section of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, encourage each other and build each other up. That's what being a part of a fellowship is all about. Encouraging one another, building one another up, enabling each other to grow spiritually, challenging one another to serve God and to be available to other people. Let's pray. Lord, your word has many practical applications. And while this particular passage seems to be much more about the kind of theological backing to the fact that you're coming back, we can encourage one another. We can support one another. We can be people who's kind of cheering each other on in our attempts to love others, to care for them and to pray for them and to share our faith with them. So whatever we're going to be doing this week, whether we're at home because we're not working, whether we are working and we've got jobs that we have to fulfill, whether we're socializing with other people, whatever we are doing, Lord, help us to see folks as our neighbors. Help us to see folks as people that we can pray for, we can care for, we can share with. And Lord, will you please challenge our hearts to be ready and vigilant, to be standing on tiptoes, awaiting your return, but also getting on with a job in the meantime. And that job is to love you and to love other people and to be available for your Spirit to work in us and through us. Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.